I had walked out on the road before dawn to birdwatch and returned a few hours later. The camp safety representative summoned me to his office and told me that I had already been reported for two violations of Chevron regulations, which I was not to repeat. First, I had been noticed stepping several feet out into the roadway to observe a bird. That posed the hazard that a vehicle might hit me, or that in swerving to avoid hitting me, it might crash into an oil pipeline at the side of the road and cause an oil spill. From now on, I should please stay off the road while birdwatching. Second, I had been seen birdwatching while not wearing a protective helmet, but this whole area was a hard hat area. At this point, the officer gave me a hard hat, which I should henceforth please wear for my own safety. That was an introduction to Chevron's extreme concern. I have never observed an oil spill on any of my four visits, but I do read the reports posted each month on Chevron bulletin boards about incidents and near incidents. Out of interest, I recorded the full list of 14 incidents from March 2003. The most serious were that a truck backed into a stop sign. Another truck was reported with its emergency brake improperly set. A package of chemicals lacked the correct paperwork, and gas was found leaking from a compressor needle valve. My remaining surprise came in the course of birdwatching. New Guinea has many bird and mammal species whose presence and abundance are sensitive indicators of human disturbance. When I began birdwatching in the Kutubu area, I anticipated that my main goal would be to determine how much less numerous these species were inside the area of Chevron's oil fields, facilities, and pipeline than outside it. Instead, I discovered to my astonishment that these species are much more numerous inside the Chevron area than anywhere else that I have visited on the island of New Guinea, except for a few remote uninhabited areas. That's because there is an absolute prohibition against Chevron employees and contractors hunting any animal or fishing by any means in the project area, and because the forest is intact. In effect, the Kutubu oil field functions as by far the largest and most rigorously controlled national park in Papua New Guinea. For months, I was greatly puzzled by these conditions in the Kutubu oil field. After all, Chevron is a for-profit oil company owned by its shareholders. If Chevron were to spend money on environmental policies that ultimately decreased its profits from its oil operations, its shareholders would and should sue it. The company evidently decided that those policies would ultimately help it make more money from its oil operations. How do they help? Chevron company publications refer to concern for the environment itself as a motivating factor. That is undoubtedly true. However, I have come to realize that many other factors as well have contributed to these environmental policies. One is the importance of avoiding very expensive environmental disasters. Chevron realized that by spending each year an extra few million dollars on a project, or even a few tens of millions of dollars, they would save money in the long run by minimizing the risk of losing billions of dollars in such an accident, or of having an entire project closed down and losing its whole investment. A related factor is public expectations. Oil spills tend to be highly visible. The impact of the spill is usually obvious. For instance, in the form of oil-coated dead birds whose pictures saturate television screens and newspapers. Hence, the public can be expected to howl at the kind of big environmental mistake most likely for an oil company. The trend throughout the world, with obvious exceptions, is for governments, as the years pass, to demand more rather than less rigorous environmental precautions. Oil companies have learned that it is far cheaper to build a clean facility incorporating environmental precautions at the outset than to retrofit that facility later when government standards become tightened. Still, a further advantage to Chevron's environmentally clean practices is that the reputation that it has thereby gained sometimes gives it a competitive advantage in obtaining contracts. For example, recently the government of Norway solicited bids for development of an oil gas field in the North Sea. Chevron succeeded in winning the contract, probably in part because of its good environmental reputation. The Norwegian contract might have been the biggest single financial benefit to the company from its rigid environmental safeguards in the Kutubu oil fields. A company's audience includes not only the public, governments, and local landowners, but also its employees. An oil field poses complicated technological, construction, and management problems, and a large fraction of oil company employees have higher education and advanced degrees. They tend to be environmentally aware. All those employees see for themselves the state of the environment in the oil fields, and they see the company's commitment to clean environmental policies. Many Chevron employees told me that that issue of employee morale and environmental views was both a benefit of their company's visibly clean environmental policies and also a driving force behind the adoption of those policies in the first place. Finally, new technology has made it easier for oil companies to operate more cleanly now than in the past. For instance, several horizontal or diagonal wells can now be drilled from a single surface location. The rock debris that is ground up as a well is drilled can now be pumped into an isolated underground formation containing no producible oil, instead of dumping the rocks into a pit or into the ocean. Natural gas obtained as a byproduct of oil extraction is now either reinjected into an underground reservoir or shipped out by pipeline or else liquefied for storage and transport by ship and then sold, instead of burning it off. These, then, are reasons why Chevron and the handful of other big international oil companies have been taking environmental issues seriously. What it all adds up to is that clean environmental practices help them make money and gain long-term access to new oil and gas fields. I'm not claiming that the oil industry is now uniformly clean, responsible, and admirable in its behavior. Among the most widely publicized, persisting, and serious problems are recent large spills at sea from wrecks of poorly maintained and poorly operated single-hull tankers. Other major problems include legacies of old, environmentally dirty facilities and operations under the auspices of corrupt and abusive governments, such as those of Nigeria and Indonesia.